Something about a huge scar from the tournament.
Rick rolled his eyes.
That's a joke. I did get a cut, but it's mostly gone now. The only remaining injury was the burned hand mark on his chest, which ignored all treatment.
Yes, your lucrema is healthy enough that you shouldn't scar.
Lisa set off down the trail, smiling over at him.
Today we need to find a new place, somewhere quiet where you can focus. I find it's best to do this sort of thing out in nature. I've only used purification medicine this potent a few times before, but the same principle should apply.
We're actually doing it outside?
I was under the impression that my body, would need to expel a lot of impurities, and that the process could get pretty messy.
Now it was Lisa's turn to roll her eyes.
Those are mostly scams. They're as bad as the people who want to sell you really expensive methods of purifying your body of toxins, as if your kidneys don't exist. No, if you want to do it right, the process is a little different.
But I saw videos online. People were in a pool and shed enormous amounts of black goo.
Still scams. Some of those companies actually get investigated by the government, though they're always moving slower than the advertisers. Often it's actually a trick. Whatever medicine they give you has an active agent that reacts to water by forming that type of goo, thus giving the impression that you're purging your body of all kinds of things. I can show you debunking videos later.
That might be interesting, but I believe you.
Rick spotted a grove of trees near the end of the park where the path curved back around. Not exactly an isolated retreat, but there were no picnic tables nearby, and it looked peaceful enough.
How about there?
Yeah, that will do.
They got set up there, and Lisa began filling water bottles from one of the public drinking fountains. It wasn't exactly training in a remote mountain waterfall, but it would do. As they set everything up, Lisa explained the purification process.
As you fight or focus lucrum, especially when you use it to do things like get rid of aura leeches, some of your strength gets invested wrong. Instead of joining your lucores, they form little clots that float within your lucrema. These don't do any real harm, but they represent part of your total potential strength that's being wasted.
Can't they grow bigger and cause health problems? Lisa shook her head.
Those are lucrum blockages, and they're different things. Similar in nature, but you can't get rid of them in the same way. With those, the problem is that they're tough, infused with your main lucores. With the tiny clots, the problem is that there's a ton of them and they're difficult to find.
So we can filter them out somehow.
That can be done, and some schools have suggested it, but it's not a very efficient process. This baby operates by entirely different principles.
As they headed back to their chosen location, Lisa hefted the blood-red sphere in one hand.
This is going to send a steady surge of energy through you. It will melt your cores, and yes, you might be able to improve a bit from that. But the real benefit is that it separates out the different elements in your lucrema. The clots will float to the surface where they're easy to identify.
That sounded more like what he'd read about. Once they're there, I can burn them off?
Exactly right. It will hurt a bit, but with the clots gone, your lucrema will recover to use the strength they were wasting. In a few days, you'll be better than new.
Lisa took out a knife and began carefully shaving off peels of the sphere into the first water bottle. As Rick watched her, he found himself smiling.
You know, you should think about starting a vlog or writing a book or something.
Huh?
Lisa was so startled she almost sent the next shaving to the ground, but she lunged out and caught it.
What do you mean?
You did a really good job explaining that.
I spent a while looking on the internet, and there were a lot of competing explanations, most of them confusing. A few might have been trying to make the process more mystical than it really is, but some were just bad at explaining. There's value in being able to do that well.
Lisa considered that in silence for a while.
I had honestly never considered that before. I guess doing that sort of thing is a way a lot of health people make extra money.
She set the matter out of her mind, then handed him the first of the water bottles, which turned red, then pitch black.
Enough about that. Bottoms up.
Rick sat down, drank the bottle, and welcomed the pain. Chapter 55. Final Preparations. The first bottle went down easily enough, filling him not like water, but like a solid mass slithering through his body. Not enough. Lisa was already handing him the second bottle she'd prepared, so he accepted it and began drinking. Even before he finished, he felt the heat building in him,
but he forced himself to drink all of it before tossing the bottle aside and focusing his entire mind internally. Just as Lisa had explained, the liquid seemed to course through him, heating everything in his lucrima. It felt almost like an attack designed to soften his defenses, but he accepted it and just focused on holding onto the cores he wanted, letting the rest dissolve into a mess of gooey lucrim. When he was handed a third water bottle, he drank it automatically, and the heat grew. Sweat beaded all over his body, but that was nothing compared to the raw heat inside him. He could almost imagine that he felt the clots of misused lucrim floating to the surface, but ignored the sensations. What mattered was sticking to the plan, staying focused until the first stage was done.
"Okay, Rick, now!"
When he heard Lisa's words, he let his senses expand outward. Yes, he could feel the impurities at the edges of his lucrima, floating like tiny flecks of trash in a peaceful pond. Rick gathered his strength and threw it against them, burning away the clots. Some of his good lucrim burned as well, but that pain was part of the process. He finished feeling raw and a bit tired, but Lisa immediately handed him another water bottle. Rick drank the pitch-black liquid and felt it burn through him. That had been the first step, now to repeat the process until he had cleared out everything. At first, he focused on the free-floating impurities, but as the blood-red sphere dwindled, he let the heat rush into his lucores as well. He would need to rebuild them afterward, but he felt the brittle fragments work their way out of the core of his being. When it was finally over, he fell onto his back and just breathed for a while, staring up at the sky. Even though he'd drunk an enormous amount of water, he felt empty instead of bloated. The emptiness was strikingly pure, and even though he was tired, his body felt light. Right now, he had drained himself of energy, and his defenses were soft and pliable, but he could feel the new strength within him.
"Congrats! You did a great job with that!"
Lisa sat down beside him, handing him a bottle of serum, higher quality stuff that they sold in glass bottles instead of cans.
"I've had professional fighter clients who whined way more about the process, but you really threw yourself into it."
"Well, I knew this was my only chance." Rick drank eagerly, then wiped off his mouth as he had to stop to breathe. "It's not like I can keep purifying myself on a regular basis, given the cost."
"I think you will."
Lisa gave him an encouraging smile.
"Things might be rough now, but you're really improving, Rick. I expect you to keep getting better, and I'm sure your life will improve. With all the work you put in, it would be unfair if the universe didn't reward you eventually."
Rick had no confidence in the universe's justice, but he appreciated the sentiment. They chatted casually as he finished the bottle of serum, taking a while to rest after the intense experience. But eventually their time came to an end, and Lisa obviously knew it.
"Rick?"
She lowered her eyes and shook her head.
"I'm not sure what to say. I hope you make it through this match and things go well. If you do get injured, don't be all prideful, okay? You can call me, and I'll do what I can to help."
"I appreciate that, Lisa." Rick smiled at her, and they headed out of the park by the same route they came in. Once there, Lisa lingered a bit, but Rick had to say his farewells and leave. In part, it was because he wasn't sure what to think of their conversations. Honestly, another aspect of it was that he was eager to test his new strength, and another part of him was already fixated on the upcoming battle with Mike. But another piece of it was much more mundane. Drinking all of that liquid might have purified his lucrima, but he really needed to go to the bathroom. It took him several days to fully recover from the purification process and re-solidify his lucores to his satisfaction, but the process was easy because it was so much fun. Usually, he put himself through hell just for small improvements, but now he felt new strength surging through him. Except it wasn't really new strength, just strength he'd earned and lost somewhere along the way. Not only did he recover over 4,000 lucrim in impurities, the process had improved his maximum by another 1,250. Once Rick properly invested all of that, he was proud of his results. Name: Rick Hunter. Ether tier, 16th. Ether score, 243. Lucrum generation, 37,500. Effective rate, 35,047. Current lucrum, 37,500. Rick Hunter's Lucrema portfolio. Foundation, 3,200, level 4. Offensive Lucor, 6,875, level 4. Defensive Lucor, 15,525, level 7. Bunyan Step, 6,400, level 4. Graham's Stake, 6,450, level 2. Aura Leech, negative 2,453, stage 1. Gross Lucrem, 37,500. Net Lucrem, 35,047.
He'd invested the majority into his defense, even though it felt excessive. But he reminded himself that as much as he'd improved, he was planning to face someone who was regularly handed far higher quantities of lucrum than he possessed. Though he planned to win, when he was done, he wouldn't have expensive medical care to help him. More important than winning was being able to move on after the fight, to regain his health and spend time with those who mattered to him. All the remaining time he had, he spent adjusting to his new power. Rick had seen new Birthriders injure themselves, clumsily using power and speed they weren't accustomed to. While he would never perform that poorly, he needed to perfect his understanding of his limits. No overextending himself, no using less than his full capacity, just precise use of his exact abilities. In the evenings, he made sure to spend time relaxing, since he didn't want to burn himself out before the challenge. That was easy enough, since Melissa was happy to spend time with him. They divided their time between practicing his theoretical new technique and messing around as usual. On Friday night, they tested the basic principles of it one last time. Melissa extended her hands, carrying the void flame to him. Rick closed his eyes and accepted it, wrapping the flame within a sphere of aura. Unlike before, it no longer threatened to burn him. Even when he trained or sparred while holding the trapped flame within his lucrema, it managed to sustain itself.
"Wow," Melissa sat back and watched with an odd expression. "I know it's been a long road, but I'm still surprised you can do that. The flames tend to burn up everything, yet you've adjusted."
"It's partially thanks to you learning how to create more stable flames."
"Maybe, but I think you deserve a lot of the credit. Not like you're a super genius, no offense, but I feel like you're well suited for it. Maybe because you're my brother?"
Melissa switched from contemplative to grinning at him.
"Was that your scheme this whole time? You were just pretending to be a loving older brother to get a hidden technique from me?"
"Indeed, my machinations lay undetected for years." Rick smiled at her, but his mind couldn't stay light for long these days.
"I'm sorry if I haven't been paying as much attention to your things these days. My problems recently, they've been a bit all-consuming."
"Oh, don't talk like that. You've been great."
"But you're getting within a few months of graduation, and I just realized that we haven't really talked about it much. Do you know what you want to do next?"
Melissa sat back, considering the question, or perhaps considering him.
"I've given it a lot of thought, but I'm still not sure. Get a job as soon as possible, obviously. I've been sponging off you for long enough. Do you think you could get me a job at your gym?"
Rick immediately shook his head. "You could, but you don't want that. Female trainers usually get more creepers, at least at a little place like ours. Even if you want to go into training, you shouldn't settle for a gym that's in a strip mall. You can do better."
"You really think so? They've done some job fairs at school, and, well, a lot of the entrance requirements are higher than I thought. You need certificates from a combat sect, college degrees, special training. Without those, I don't have so many options."
"Why not go for those?" Rick sat forward, locking his gaze with his sister. "You said you were sponging off me earlier, but that's wrong. I'm glad to be able to help you. We're family. Now, I might not be able to afford the full fees for university or a combat sect, but you've done well and you can probably get scholarships. Don't set your sights low just because you feel you have to."
Melissa stared at him for a moment, then to his surprise, jumped forward to hug him.
"Thank you, Rick. I'm not sure what I really want in life, but I'm glad you're here with me."
She pulled back and smiled at him.
"I love you, bro."
"Love you too, sis."
"Now,"
her sincere expression dissolved into a smirk,
"how are you going to spend your last night before the big fight? I'm thinking the best use of it would be to watch Fist of the Sublime for the third time."
"Oh, God, no."
"But don't you care about fist-pounding action?"
Joking aside, they didn't actually watch it again.
After Melissa went to bed, Rick ran through all his exercises for the last time before the big match. He would meditate a little before the fight started, but otherwise, the time for preparations had ended. As he went to sleep, he considered final desperation options one last time. What he had done was impressive, yet he was still outclassed by his opponent. If he wanted more strength, he still had the option to take a demonic bond. Given how his ether score was improving, they would probably give him a decent one. That could make up a large portion of the gap, especially if he overextended the bond. But no, this wasn't just a grudge match to him, not an issue of ego like it was for Mike. Rick realized that the things that truly mattered to him were more important than simply winning. He fixed that thought in his mind as he fell asleep. Hopefully, he wouldn't regret that decision by tomorrow evening. One way or another, it would be over. Chapter 56. Grudge Match. Rick woke bright and early on the day of the challenge. Melissa was already dressed and ready, leaving no question about whether or not she was coming with him. That was probably just as well, given that it would be a risk to carry the void flame longer than necessary. When he didn't object, she nodded and went back to reading, letting him prepare himself mentally. He took his clothes into the bathroom, carefully cleaned himself, and changed. For a moment, he considered wearing the suit Granny Whitney had given him, but he decided against it. Instead, he just wore a pair of pants loose enough to move in and a blank gray t-shirt. Though he wasn't going to win any fashion contests, they were comfortable for combat movement and they wouldn't distract him. For a while, Rick leaned on the sink, staring at himself in the mirror. There was no trace of what he'd been through in the tournament. In fact, there was no trace of most of what had happened to him. Would he look any different than he had the day Mike wandered into the gym looking for a fight? He was a little more muscular, and his aura burned more intensely, but on the outside, he looked unchanged. Yet that wasn't true. Rick smiled as he realized that however the day ended, he knew that he was no longer the person he had been before. He would not be content with accepting life as it came to him. Ready to go? He came out of the bathroom impatient to reach their location. Fortunately, Melissa was just reading on the couch and hopped up instantly.
Let's do it. But I guess I should have asked this first. But is it far? These shoes aren't great for a long walk.
If there was ever a day to splurge on transportation, it's today. At the moment, he felt completely fresh and relaxed, so he wasn't going to risk fatiguing himself. As they left the apartment, Rick showed her the address on the formal challenge papers. I looked it up online and it says it's a random field, but the satellite photos show that there's some kind of ruin. I think it was the headquarters of some old group.
That's a ways out of town. Are we sure that we're not walking into an ambush?
He did everything formally, so the challenge should be listed with the government and everything. I don't think he can really cheat that. At least he hoped not. While there were tales of poor fighters proving their worth in such challenges, there were always tales of corruption as well. But there was little he could do about that, so all they could do was move forward. They tried to joke a few times on the taxi ride, but they were both too tense. He saw the uneasiness in his sister's eyes and wondered if it was purely concern for him or if she was overly invested in this fight herself. Mike's friend had threatened her because of this conflict, after all, so perhaps she needed to see it happen in order to move past it. Maybe he was imagining it all, but Rick decided that it was another reason he needed to win. Their car passed the suburbs, then entered the fields outside Branton. It wasn't long after that they neared their location. Rick peered out the window to see if there were any surprises, but it looked just like he'd seen online. There were odd structures from the ruin that couldn't be properly seen from the street pictures, and so far they were still ambiguous, just spires rising above the grass. When they stopped, Melissa got out and surveyed the area while Rick found change for the driver. The man didn't even ask before driving back to town. That could be a problem, but Rick put it out of his mind. He couldn't concentrate on anything but the fight set before him.
There you are!
A short man in an ill-fitting suit moved to greet them from the side of the field.
I'm telling you, I hate these challenges at strange locations. Okay, so your great-grandfather fought an important battle here. Who really cares? It's just costing the taxpayers money.
Rick stared at him, not having expected this. You're the challenge official.
That's right. You and your guests seem to be right on time. 5 minutes early would have been better, but it's acceptable. We can start as soon as your opponent gets here.
We're not just fighting in this field, are we?
Of course not.
The official shook his head as if the idea was absurd.
This way, I'll show you the ruins.
They headed out on a small path through the grass that Rick hadn't seen from their previous angle. The official led the way, bustling as if late for a meeting. Rick followed him, with Melissa shadowing him, both of them looking around curiously. As they drew closer, the shape of the ruins became obvious. It was an ancient combat arena, a large rectangle of stone. Most of it was obscured by the tall grasses, but he could see ornate carvings on the side, worn by the years, but still intact. The top was covered in dark-colored flagstones, worn smooth by the wind. What he had seen from the road were four spires at the corners that curved up toward the center. So this was their arena. A bit more grandiose than he'd expected, if far from modern. Did McGuire Incorporated own this land? Did it have some meaning for Mike? Rick decided that both of those questions were distractions and just walked up the stairs on the side, then stood in the arena silently, getting a feel for the place. It was like a platform of stone floating in the grasses, which flowed around them in smooth patterns. They were strangely beautiful, so he let the wind patterns relax him as he slowly walked the arena. This place had a sense of deep peacefulness that he tried to absorb into himself. When he finished a complete circuit of the arena, he was blocked by Melissa. She glanced to the road, then the official, before leaning closer and whispering.
Perhaps we should set up now. I mean, we don't know how long we'll have to wait, but could that guy consider it cheating?
It's not cheating, Rick said. But yes, let's do it now. Melissa took a deep breath and drew a flickering flame from within herself. This one seemed particularly compact, a dangerous fragment of utter void. If it hadn't been from her, he would have hesitated. But Rick accepted the flame, built his usual shell, then let it submerge into his lucrima. Before the end of the day, he'd use it for real. They stood near each other for a while, and Melissa looked like she was about to say something, but at that moment Mike finally arrived. A black speck on the horizon grew in size surprisingly fast, revealing itself to be a dark limousine as it glided toward them. Without a sound, the Lucrum vehicle came to hover just beside the challenge platform. Of course, Mike wouldn't walk through a field. As his rival stepped out of the vehicle, Rick actually looked past him first. He caught a glimpse of several people, including Mike's two cronies, but beyond them sat his father and several assistants. That was what Rick had needed to know. The CEO of McGuire Incorporated didn't get out of the car and seemed focused on other things, but he had decided to come. That was a small comfort. Meanwhile, Mike swaggered into the arena, Glenn and Magnus behind him. They were actually in exactly the same formation as they'd entered the gym so many months ago. Rick almost commented on it, not that it really mattered. Hopefully, this time would end differently.
Is everything ready?
Mike shot a scornful glance at Rick, then looked to the official.
I don't want to waste any more time than necessary with this scrub.
Rick resisted the urge to laugh.
Is that what you tell yourself? Shut up, I'm not talking to you. I'm not here to talk to you at all, just beat you down.
Mike advanced on the official, glaring down at the shorter man.
Come on, are we ready?
The official sighed.
Yes, yes, I was ready at the appointed time. You both already signed, so you only need to have your witnesses sign. Then you can begin. Can we at least be prompt about that?
They needed witnesses? Rick realized that perhaps his view of challenge fights was shaped by movies and TV, where they probably skipped past such details. Glenn and Magnus moved up to the official, using a small blade to cut their thumbs and apply their marks to the paper. Before Rick could say anything, Melissa stepped up beside them. She cut her thumb with her teeth and applied her blood on his side of the contract, not dropping eye contact with them the entire time. All the witnesses retreated to the sides of the arena, and the limo floated a short distance away. There were no barriers at the edge of the arena, unlike in the underground or the tournament octagon, so there could be potential collateral damage. He was glad that Melissa had started training, as she should at least be able to avoid injury. His sister gave him an encouraging smile when he looked toward her, and Rick nodded back, but then he tried to set her out of his mind. He couldn't afford anything but pure focus for this match. As everyone cleared away, Rick walked to the center of the arena. Mike walked opposite him, seething at him the entire time. Yet though the Birthrider looked furious, it was a controlled rage. He wouldn't be flying off the handle and leaving himself open. No, it seemed like Mike had been waiting for this moment a long time, probably planning for it. Rick reached out to get a sense of his opponent's generation rate and immediately regretted it. Mike felt like he was wielding over 200,000 lucrim, which was just too large a gap. Keeping his cool, Rick repeated to himself that lucrum a portfolio mattered more than just a person's available power. Unfortunately, Mike had a solid core in the center of all that lucrum. He wasn't like Rick's relatives, wasting any lucrum that came to him. It was impossible to sense exactly through all the power, but Rick thought that Mike had invested lucrum into multiple cores totaling at least 50,000 lucrum. Even by that standard, he was outmatched.
I'm gonna enjoy this.
Mike put a hand to his neck and cracked it in both directions.
You're going to be begging me to stop by the time this is over.
Just so long as it's over. Rick kept his body loose, just staying alert in case Mike tried a surprise attack. After this, your vendetta ends.
Oh, it'll end. I'll pay you back for all the suffering you've put me through.
They stared at each other from opposite sides of the arena. Between them, the official raised a hand and then backed away from the center.
All right, you can begin. As agreed, the match goes until verbal surrender or unconsciousness.
Mike let out a roar and rushed at him, a clumsy charge that Rick couldn't help but take advantage of. He dodged aside from the wild haymaker and delivered several blows into his opponent's side, not getting through his aura but softening his defenses. A moment later, Mike's movements changed. He lunged out, fingers almost reaching Rick's neck. Rick's instincts allowed him to jump away and evade them, but he realized that it was too late. Lucrum were closing around his throat. He started to resist it until he realized exactly what the technique did. Locked his vocal cords. The skill had been so fast and light because it didn't do any harm, just prevented him from speaking. Rick's mouth opened silently as he tried to test it, and he saw Mike smile viciously. So that was his plan, keep his opponent from surrendering. Though he kept his face neutral, Rick actually found it encouraging. He didn't need to speak to fight, so he simply wouldn't resist the technique. All it represented was strength that Mike had wasted on overconfident cruelty, bridging another sliver of the gap between them. Now that his trap was set, Mike stopped pretending to blunder into combat. Instead, he dropped into a fighting stance, fists raised like a boxer. Before Rick could do more than prepare himself, Mike's aura exploded into a raging inferno and he rushed forward in a barrage of blows. The strikes came quickly and aggressively, but the platform gave Rick a lot of space to dodge. He kept moving backward, ducking away from blows and forcing Mike to keep pursuing him. It might look like cowardice, but he could dodge all day while Mike was burning lucrum with every strike. As his back got closer to the edge, Rick tried to edge to the side. Mike countered aggressively, his footwork getting markedly faster. No matter how Rick tried to evade, Mike penned him in, herding him closer and closer to the corner. Soon, his back was almost up against the spire. Rick activated Bunyan's step and flashed to the side, and saw Mike's fist flying at his face. Instinct made him bend backward, the fist almost grazing his nose. Rick tried to counter with a kick, but it was easily blocked because he was so taken off guard. Had Mike managed to keep up with Bunyan's step with raw lucrum alone? His reaction time shouldn't have been good enough, yet he must have noticed Rick using the technique during the tournament and been prepared for it. With his balance ruined, Rick wasn't able to dodge back so easily, and Mike attacked with renewed fury. For the first time, Rick had to directly block an attack, wincing as he felt the impact vibrate through him. With his defensive core vastly improved, he could block a lot of blows like that, but they would still hurt like hell. Mike smirked and kept attacking, certain that he would soon be victorious. Yet, as the aggressive exchange of blows continued, Rick found himself speeding up.
His opponent attacked with greater power, yes, but it was nothing like the ferocity he had experienced when Terrigen had struck him so many times in a single instant. Compared to that, his mind could cope with this, and he was gradually adapting. Finally, one of his kicks landed, hitting Mike's shin. His opponent only winced slightly, his aura mostly protecting him, but that wince delayed his barrage of attacks. Rick delivered an elbow to his stomach with all the force he could muster. It hurt his elbow, but he was glad to see Mike stumble backward, clutching at his stomach. His eyes were open wide, shocked that he had actually been injured. Rick should have used that moment to press the attack, but his body refused to react, having pushed itself to the limit, keeping up with the aggressive melee combat. So he just stood there, recovering for the next attack.
"You little shit!"
Mike straightened with a growl, and the look of hatred in his eyes confirmed for Rick that the next attack would be soon.
"You're a decent brawler, but that's all you are. You have absolutely no chance!"
Mike began to lift into the air, and though Rick was trying to play everything cool, his eyebrows still shot up. That Mike could fly wasn't too shocking, but the way he was levitating. His aura shifted to green, and a pair of glass-like wings extended from his back. Without warning, something rushed at his stomach. Rick had no time to register it. He just automatically countered with his knee. The impact sent a shock through his entire leg, and he dropped back, only then catching up. Sweeping away, Mike soared higher into the air, hung suspended for a moment, and then flashed down with the same blinding speed. Rick had his guard high and managed to deflect it, but his forearms both ached. He couldn't keep fighting like this. If Mike could really just pull out a skill like this, then Rick wasn't sure there was any way he could win.
"You like that?"
Mike floated back up, raising his arms to either side.
"You have no idea the resources I have access to."
Something in that stuck in Rick's mind. He had little time to think about it, but the next time Mike swooped at him, he managed to dodge to the side. Mike's third attack missed as well, as Rick began to catch up to the speed of his new technique. It was fast, but like his bunion step, it moved mostly in single, rushing movements. Mike couldn't react fast enough to change course in the middle of them. Irritated, Mike floated down until he almost touched the edge of the arena. Then he flashed forward, his wings scraping the arena floor. Rick managed to dodge the charge, but one of the wings clipped him, sending him tumbling to the ground. He heard mocking laughter as he scrambled back up, but Rick found himself having to resist the urge to smile. After experiencing multiple attacks, he had finally understood his intuition earlier. Mike was attacking more simply and formulaically than before. Not just because it was difficult to react at that speed, but because he wasn't familiar with it. As Mike levitated to the ground again, preparing for another charge, Rick braced himself. It would be a risk, but he could do this. This skill was just something Mike had purchased, not an art he had spent years training. Though it might have great power, there would always be limitations in how he used it. When Mike swept at him again, Rick activated a bunion step the instant after, the two of them flashing toward each other faster than they could react, and his elbow connected with Mike's neck. The blow sent the Birthrider spinning end over end, and when he struck the arena, his aura and wings shattered. Mike struggled to his feet, clutching his throat. It looked like his windpipe might have been broken, and Rick hesitated for a moment before deciding that this was no time for mercy. His opponent had too much lucrum left for that. When Rick attacked, Mike managed to fend off the first few blows before Rick began connecting. But he only dealt two strikes to the head before Mike's aura exploded, back to blood red. The burst of it sent Rick sliding back across the arena. It took him a moment to struggle to his feet, stunned by the overwhelming aura. When it became a conflict of raw aura versus aura, his opponent's lucrum would always come out on top. Still, as he struggled to his feet, Rick decided that it had been worth it to land those blows. Though Mike was still clutching at his throat, something had changed. He was no longer panicking, and when he pulled his hand away, his throat appeared to be intact. After coughing a few times, Mike looked up and gave him a bloody grin.
"You see that? I can heal whatever you do to me."
But his boast had the opposite effect, since Rick could feel just how much lucrum Mike had drained in order to heal the injury. Though he still had more than enough to fight, he couldn't keep healing injuries like that forever. If the fight extended to the point where they both had little left, that was when he'd have a chance. When Mike rushed at him again, this time Rick didn't back away. He met the other man blow for blow, deflecting his attacks until he finally broke through with a blow to the chin. Though Mike fell back, he barely staggered, landing a wild blow to Rick's chest. The force of it sent him spinning backward, nearly falling. Somehow he managed to regain control, turning his spin into a kick that forced Mike to retreat a step. But he was off balance, and his opponent was coming again. Rick got his fist into position and used a bunion step to throw himself forward with more force than he could normally manage. His blow struck his opponent's chest and he felt the flesh give way, but Mike didn't fall back. Something about his aura had changed, something that resisted the impact. Mike lashed out, grabbing one of Rick's arms. He tugged him closer, aiming another blow for his face. Rick barely ducked beneath it, turning the movement into a shoulder ram. Yet this failed to budge Mike as well, and his arm was still grappled. Before Rick could find a way out, Mike's knee hit his stomach, sending him staggering to the side, only to be jerked back for another blow. It wasn't a conscious decision, yet Rick found himself thrusting a hand forward, his fingers jamming directly into his opponent's eye. That finally made Mike cry out in pain and stumble away, though Rick collapsed once his arm was released. He got to his feet painfully, watching Mike as he clutched his eye. The wound was healing, drinking in another large quantity of his lucrum, but Rick didn't feel like that was a victory. Not only was he unable to heal his own injuries, this new art was a problem. It was more subtle, somehow preventing Mike from staggering from attacks. Though it felt like it drained considerable lucrum, which was why he hadn't used it earlier, that was no comfort when it nullified Rick's primary strategy. Though he tried to come up with a solution, Rick couldn't think of one. He didn't have any trump cards that could deal with this or any hidden potential to unlock. Instead, he fell back as Mike began attacking him again, roaring in rage and yet still not getting sloppy. The gap between them was just too wide. Rick fell back from the heavy blows and missed his opponent's kick when it struck out at his ankle. Rick's leg buckled, but he'd barely even dropped to one knee before Mike smashed into him, driving him to the ground. Suddenly, he was on his back, Mike looming over him and raining down blows on his face. On instinct, Rick raised his arms to defend his head, but the repeated attacks were turning his arms into a mass of solid pain. And it was just going to continue, since his opponent still had enough lucrum for the continued aggressive attacks. Even as he defended himself, Rick experienced a moment of clarity. His only chance was to use his new skill now. He hadn't wanted to do it like this and knew it was a risk, but if he kept enduring this barrage of blows, he'd be defeated before he ever got a chance. So he drew the core containing his sister's flame into his hand, then drove it into his opponent's stomach. The strike didn't seem to do much at first, Mike simply grunting and then landing a blow directly to the face. Rick's vision flickered painfully and his defensive core shuddered. For a moment, he thought the fight was lost, but then Mike grimaced in pain and clutched at his stomach. Forcing himself to push just a little further, Rick lunged up, landing an elbow directly to his opponent's face. After that, he collapsed and needed to slowly pull himself back up, but Mike fared even worse. The birthrider was stumbling to his feet, staring down where he covered his stomach with both hands. It was more than shock in his eyes. It was as if he'd never felt anything like it before. His aura, already drained by excessive technique usage and constant attacking, began to flicker. From the sidelines, Melissa pumped a fist happily.
"You... what did you do?"
Mike stared up at him in horror. In response, Rick merely tapped his throat, pointing out the silencing technique. As he'd hoped, Mike roared and attacked him again. But though the birthrider was still able to launch powerful attacks, his concentration had wavered. Rick stayed purely defensive, dodging away when he could and turning aside blows when necessary. This time, he didn't let himself get pinned to the side of the arena. The flame kept burning inside Mike's core before it eventually went out. That had been what he would have expected.
It would have been nice if it could keep burning away his opponent's lucrum forever, but he'd predicted that it couldn't last. Used this way, he wasn't sure if it had actually been a debilitating blow. Still, it had been worth it to escape sure defeat. On top of that, his opponent's lucrum was in bad shape. Mike kept attacking aggressively, apparently not realizing that the lucrum that powered him to such levels were running out. Rick was exhausted too, but he was used to fighting with no strength. Finally, Mike went too far, lunging in an aggressive attack that his strength could no longer back up. Rick deflected it with one arm, surprised at how light the blow felt, and slammed an elbow into his opponent's throat. Not a devastating blow, but enough. Mike staggered a step back, automatically beginning to heal the injury, and finding that he didn't have the strength. His eyes went wide and he started to evade, but not fast enough. Rick closed on him, dealing a brutal series of blows to his torso and face, battering him backward. With each one, he could feel his opponent's defenses weakening even further as he struggled to pull himself together with less power than he'd ever experienced before.
No!
Mike drew on the rest of what he had left, his explosive aura pushing Rick back, and lunged forward in a kick to the stomach. Rick caught his foot, not using his full defensive core, simply blocking the physical blow. He saw Mike realize in horror that he had nothing left, not even enough lucrum to reinforce his body. With only his remaining cores, he was little stronger than an untrained human. Keeping his grip on Mike's foot, Rick lunged forward and brought an elbow down on his opponent's knee, hard enough that he felt the leg snap. Mike released a scream of pain and clutched at his leg. Though Rick's instincts told him to keep going, to beat his opponent until it was over, he held back to catch his breath. He had taken himself to his limits, and he couldn't afford to get overconfident.
I surrender!
Mike thrashed backward, scrabbling over the ground to get away from Rick. His cries of pain dissolved into blubbering as he desperately called out his surrender repeatedly. Though Rick watched him without expression, he had to admit that he felt a flicker of satisfaction at that. Maybe it wasn't the disabling injury he'd wanted, but he knew that Mike would remember this. For the rest of his life, no matter how much lucrum he drowned himself in, he would remember what it felt like to be powerless, what it felt like to lose to someone weaker than him. Thinking that Melissa should be celebrating the victory as well, Rick turned toward her and saw Glenn and Magnus advancing on him, auras kindling around them. Rick tried to curse, though no sound came out. They weren't much weaker than Mike, and fighting two of them at once would have been impossible even at his best, much less drained like this. Though the official objected and started to get in their way, they sidestepped around the man. Did they plan to injure him while they had a chance and damn the consequences? As Rick tried to summon enough strength for another bunion step, he didn't think he would make it.
That's enough.
The voice rang out with such clear authority that everyone stopped. Mike's father stepped from out of the limo onto the arena. Even without his aides following him, the sheer aura he radiated was intimidating.
Don't be sore losers, boys. Go.
Glenn and Magnus retreated like scolded puppies. The CEO gestured at his aides to stay back, then walked forward. His gaze fell on Mike, and in that moment, Rick was infinitely glad that he wasn't the birthrighter.
You're a disgrace to this family. All of this childishness ends at once.
Mike groaned and slumped to the arena floor. Several aides came to drag him away, but Rick could barely look at him, his attention forcibly drawn by Mike's father. The older man examined him for a moment, then gave him a polite nod.
I can't say I'm glad to see my boy beaten, but you did well. As a small token of apology for your trouble, let me give you a ride back to town.
Rick struggled to purge the lucrum binding his voice, tired enough that it was difficult even though Mike was down.
That's very kind, but we can't... Oh, take it. You're obviously exhausted.
Without warning, Mike's father stepped up to him, all trace of a smile gone, eyes like steel.
Let me be perfectly clear. My son is an embarrassment to me personally, but that is a personal matter. Perhaps this will be good for him. But if you ever say or do anything that would embarrass our family,
you will find out that McGuire Incorporated does not play games such as these."
Rick stared back because he didn't have a choice, captured by the CEO's intense gaze. Yet he wasn't overwhelmed. Not only had he faced worse, this was what his life had always been, with companies and other forces more powerful than him trying to control him. He gave a false smile and nodded.
"Understood. All I want to do is go home and rest."
"Very good, then."
Mike's father stepped back, once more all polite business smiles.
"One of my aides will get a car for you. Have a nice day."
With that, the CEO of McGuire Incorporated ducked into his limo, already returning to his business. One of the remaining aides got out a pair of keys and summoned a Lucrum vehicle, a small, dark car with a kind of simple elegance that characterized everything about the family. Since the threat had already been delivered, Rick thought there was no harm in accepting the ride. He started to walk toward it, but his leg gave out. Before he could fall, Melissa rushed to get under his arm and hold him up.
"You did it, and—"
Her eyes flickered to the aide before she tried to suppress her smile.
"And it worked."
"Yes. I'd have been in trouble without your moral support."
"That can totally be the official name."
Melissa supported him into the car, and he gratefully eased down onto the comfortable seats.
"I can't believe it's really over. I mean, I'm sure he hates you even more now, but it felt like his father will end it for good."
"I think it's truly over."
Rick felt his body relax and realized that he actually believed it.
"I'm going to sleep for a solid week."
For once, things would go according to plan. Chapter 57. Life Has No Epilogues. Weeks later, Rick was back to work at the House of the Cosmic Fist, staring out over the crappy little strip mall. Walking into the gym and quitting dramatically was a nice fantasy, but not one he entertained for very long. He had bills to pay and a sister to support. One day he would definitely move on to better things, but he would do it when the time was right, not on a whim. Life didn't give him miracles after all, so it paid to be cautious. Part of him had been worried that he was slipping back into old ruts, but many elements of his life reminded him that wasn't the case. He continued training privately with Lisa, and he'd received an invitation to meet with Emily the day before. When he went home, he and his sister were working on strengthening her void flame, not weakening it. And now that the constant threats had passed, he was enjoying developing his Lucrema even more. Not only that, the ratings agencies had caught up to his progress, and he'd been raised to the 15th tier. That took him out of the lowest quarter. He didn't think anyone in their family had ever done that, other than Uncle Frank. But given his good mood these days, he expected that to be just the start. After standing on the sidewalk for a while, Rick decided to go back inside and train on his own. Compared to the rewards he'd received for matches in the underground, a tiny bonus for bringing in a new client didn't seem to matter much. He sat down in the center of the gym and began to meditate, satisfied that he was being paid for training he intended to do anyway.
"You know, we always need more clients."
Jimmy looked up from his magazine and gave him a skeptical look.
"Don't start slacking off now."
"I think I'll do more to bring in clients by demonstrating our discipline, don't you?"
Rick smiled back at him, keeping his face neutral. Though Jimmy stared at him in mild annoyance, he also disliked putting effort into things, so he might just drop the argument altogether. Before it could go anywhere, the doorbell rang again. Not a client. Instead, it was Henry, marching in with a confident look on his face. At first glance, he seemed better, without signs of having overdrawn his demonic bonds. Yet when Rick sensed his Lucrema portfolio, as had become his habit, he felt that something else was wrong. It was actually nothing he'd ever felt before, so despite his co-worker's cheerful expression, Rick got to his feet, preparing just in case something was wrong.
"Have you guys seen those advanced Lucrem stations?"
Henry flexed his arms, apparently enjoying his strength, though it didn't look impressive now that Rick's standards for physical size had been set so much higher.
"God, just one loan and I feel incredible. I knocked all three demonic bonds way down, and I'm even better than before."
Rick's first instinct was to get out his phone and check, but he held it back. There wasn't a need for it, not really. He could feel that Henry was being over-optimistic. His bonds were still draining his strength, and whatever this advanced lucrim was, it was only a temporary boost to his power, not an investment. Strong as he seemed, that appearance was hiding a weak foundation.
"That's a great story," Jimmy said. "Now get to work."
"Nope, that's actually the opposite of why I'm here."
Henry slapped Jimmy's magazine out of his hands and pinned it to the table.
"I quit. I can make more money fighting in the underground anyway."
Jimmy stared at him, then jerked his magazine out from under his hand.
"Suit yourself."
"Wait, that's it?"
Henry leaned forward on the desk, the wind leaving his sails.
"Come on, man. I worked here for like 3 years. You don't have anything else to say?"
"If you want to hire one of our trainers, you can see our programs on the paper there. Otherwise, get out."
Henry stalked away, muttering curses. Rick decided to go after him. Even if he wasn't truly friends with his co-worker, he didn't want to let him leave that easily. Also, he was curious about this new method that had given him so much confidence. Rick caught up to his co-worker and matched pace with him.
"Hey man, are there that many good fights in the underground?"
"New events are happening."
Henry grinned over at him as they walked.
"If you're willing to take a few risks, you can do pretty well for yourself. And that's just for me. Since you were part of the tournament, you could probably make even more."
"Nah, I think I'm done with that, at least for now."
Something about the offer bugged him anyway. They wouldn't start offering more money for no reason, so there had to be a catch. "What was that you were saying about advanced lucrum stations, though?"
"Oh, those are fantastic. They set up one not far from here. We can check it out."
Several blocks away, down a street Rick usually didn't go, they found it. A building that had once been an abandoned gas station had been refurbished. The sign declared "Advanced Lucrum" in bold letters, and there were a few flashing lights welcoming people in. A woman with a disturbingly white smile greeted them from behind the counter as they entered, but Rick looked in the other direction. The aisles of food and drinks had been replaced with several large circular machines he couldn't quite figure out.
"Yeah, those are the main event."
Henry moved up to one of the machines, stepping into the circle.
"You put your hands in here, run through the process, and bam, sudden burst of strength. It somehow reaches forward and grants you strength that you're going to earn. Isn't that incredible?"
Rick didn't answer, but he thought that incredible was exactly the right word. All around the store, he saw flashy posters declaring the store's services. Money for nothing, it pretended to offer. Families waving bundles of cash. The money of tomorrow, today. He had to search a long time to find the fine print that made it clear the boost was effectively just a loan. Though the machine hid the lucrum mechanisms deep within, he knew exactly what he'd feel. The same model as the golden lucor he had carried so long ago. This was what they had been designing, a way to harvest lucrum from those who had none. Desperate people would come in here and receive immediate lucrum, most selling it for cash, thus squeezing even more profit from them. Looking around the side of the machine, Rick soon found it, the logo of McGuire Incorporated. He smiled down at it oddly.
"You okay, man? You're spacing out on me."
Henry waved a hand in front of his face.
"Sorry, I was just looking at the machine."
"I get it. This is fun new stuff. Anyway, you want to give them a try? You'd probably see a pretty big benefit given how lucky you've been lately."
Rick shook his head and began walking out of the store.
"No, thank you."
"Are you sure, man? This really...
Do you get a bonus if you bring someone in?"
Henry started to object, but when Rick looked back at him, his words petered out. The silence stretched awkwardly between them, yet Rick found that it didn't touch him. He wasn't the one who had set it up, and he had more important things to think about. Eventually, Henry walked in a slightly different direction and gave him a half wave.
"I guess we won't be seeing each other at the gym anymore, huh? But I'll see you around, all right, man?"
"Sure, see you around."
As they walked in separate directions, Rick thought back to what he had seen. It wasn't exactly an evil scheme, since everything McGuire Incorporated had done was perfectly legal. His involvement in the new technology had been incidental for all the conflict that it ended up spawning. Yet it still felt strange to learn that all of this had developed in the background while he was absorbed in his own problems. But wasn't that always the way the world went? Granny Whitney had been playing her own games, competing with Alger and the American Basilisk and probably others. All of that passed on above him, or at least it had once. Now, he found himself wondering.
Obviously, he wasn't going to take on a corporation, just like he wasn't going to go challenge everyone in a combat university to a fight. But all of those ideas no longer seemed so far above him. When he walked back into the gym, his boss looked up and grunted.
"He's gone for good, huh?"
"Looks like it."
Rick walked over to the counter and smiled at Jimmy. "It seems to me that you're going to be a bit short-handed here." Another grunt. "I think I would like a raise." That got his boss to slap his magazine down.
"Absolutely not. You think I'm made of money?"
"No, but I think you recognize that I'm capable of working with a wider variety of clients now. If you want me to take on extra shifts and abandon clients, I think I deserve additional compensation." Though Jimmy obviously hated that idea, he remained silent, not having a direct way to rebut the argument. Rick just smiled and headed back to train. But before he could get to his place, the door opened again. Darren, one of Henry's old clients. The gruff man scowled and looked around.
"Where's the kid? Isn't he supposed to get here about now?"
"He quit."
Jimmy grunted and looked down, though he gestured at Rick.
"Take over."
"What have I always said?"
Darren shook his head.
"That's the problem with kids these days. And you, I remember you, arrogant little prick. Trying to tell people how to conduct their business even though you've never made anything of yourself. You think you can train me?"
Rick just smiled at him. "You said I was just a human practice dummy, right? If that's all you need, I'll do my best."
"You better not regret that, kid."
Darren pulled off his jacket and moved out onto the mats. Following at a slow pace, Rick considered if he was really going to do this. But as he analyzed Darren, he realized that he could. The man had stockpiled a great deal of lucrum over the years, but he just used it as money, didn't invest it into power. In fact, his generation rate was exactly the same as it had been at the beginning of all this, 55,000 lucrum. That was more than Rick, but numbers like that weren't exactly intimidating anymore.
"Let's see how long you can last when the going gets tough."
Darren began to hop back and forth in a boxer's stance, shadowboxing the air.
"If you keep wasting what little you've got and folding when life gets hard, you'll never make anything of yourself."
With that, he launched a wild haymaker. Rick took it directly on the face and didn't move. Darren's eyes widened and he pulled his hand back slowly, shaking it subconsciously. Rick smiled at him, then raised his hands to start sparring. Even though Rick didn't actually attack, their sparring session didn't last for very long. Darren soon left the gym in a huff, grabbing his jacket and storming out without making eye contact. Jimmy watched him go and let out a low groan while Rick just walked up to the counter.
"So, how about that raise?"
Appendix, April Fool's Day Chapter. On Patreon, the author posted a joke chapter for April Fool's Day, just as a silly joke. It has been reproduced here in its awful glory. This chapter occurs after Chapter 18 of The Real Story. The poison in his body made Rick feel weak, but he forced himself to enter the underground arena anyway. He wouldn't give up, no matter what. All the other people in the arena had generation rates of 100,000 lucrum or even more, but he got ready to fight them anyway. Suddenly, as soon as the battle started, the nearest warriors sent massive blasts of power directly toward Rick. They would tear his body apart into shreds of flesh, but he stood tall and faced them bravely. Even faced with impossible odds, he was too brave and noble to bow down to anyone. At that moment, Lady Lysandaroth from the Purple Moon Clan happened to be descending from the divine heavenly realm. When she saw how brave and handsome Rick was, she paused time and came down to stare at him. Her alabaster skin glowed in the light, especially her double D breasts. Suddenly, Rick wasn't stopped in time anymore. Everything else was, but he wasn't. He stared around in surprise until he saw Lady Lysandaroth, who nodded graciously to him.
"Noble Richard, I have been touched by your bravery. I have never seen the like, even in the divine heavenly realm. To face overwhelming odds and stand against them nonetheless is the mark of a true hero."
Thanks, Rick said humbly. "Is it really that rare?"
I have seen 1,000,000,000,000 Googleplex dozen people across countless realms, and it turns out most of them are bums.
Lady Lysandaroth shook her head sadly.
For your courage, I will bless you with the true heart of Lucrim.
Thanks, Rick said humbly. Lady Lysandaroth reached forward and touched Rick's chest with her alabaster fingers. He felt a warmth growing inside him as his true power awakened inside him, though he wanted her to keep touching him forever soon after she pulled away.
Go and live a life worthy of a hero,
Lady Lysandaroth said.
Will I ever see you again?
Rick asked, humbly. One crystalline tear rolled down Lady Lysandaroth's alabaster cheek and into her double D cleavage.
I am sorry, Richard, but it cannot be. My father will...
She could say no more, though she knew that her love for this brave and humble young man would only grow. Her father and the other members of the Purple Moon Clan would never smile upon their love, because it was forbidden for people from Earth and people from the divine heavenly realm to ever be in a relationship. With that, Lady Lysandaroth ascended back to the divine heavenly realm with only one last longing look backward. Time stopped freezing, and suddenly Rick was being blasted again. Yet he knew that something had changed within himself. He suddenly dodged to the side, grasping the blasts of power in his hands and redirecting them toward his opponents. Every one of the blasts that had been intended for him instead blew away one of his opponents. Several of them flew into the crowd, vaporizing spectators. Rick landed back on his feet and smirked, humbly. Everyone in the crowd was flabbergasted that a man with only 15,000 lucrim could defeat warriors who were so much more powerful with only his brilliant wit. Afterward, Rick went up to the owner and demanded his reward for the fight. He received $12 billion. On his way out, Henry suddenly ran up to Rick.
That was amazing, Henry shouted. I can't believe you did that, man. How did you think of it?
Oh, it was nothing, Rick said humbly. I just realized that if I redirected their power against each other, I could defeat them even though I don't have as much lucrim.
That's genius, Henry shouted.
Suddenly, Rick had an idea. He walked into a nearby store and purchased a bottle of 1,000,000,000 lucrim philosopher's elixir with a fraction of the money he had received. As Henry watched in flabbergasted awe, Rick drew the lucrim into himself to increase his power. Instead of simply making himself stronger, Rick increased the density of his lucrim with a special lucrim technique he had just invented. Now, each individual lucrim was worth 2 times a normal lucrim. He did it again and again until each lucrim was worth 64 times a normal lucrim. Suddenly, his growth would become 64 times more potent. The power of it made him glow with power.
That was amazing, man! Henry shouted. What did you do?
I realized that if I increased the density of my lucrum, it would become more powerful. It wouldn't work if I had trained more, but because I was weak until now, I can get started with far stronger lucrum than a normal person.
That's fucking amazing. Nobody else has ever thought of that before.
Rick looked at his phone and saw that his generation rate was now 300,000 lucrum, which was actually 18,600,000 because his lucrum were 64 times more dense than normal people's. He smirked and decided that it was time to head to work and teach his boss a thing or two. When Rick suddenly entered the gym, Jimmy looked up at them and glowered.
You're late to work, boy. I ought to beat you for this.
You're not going to insult me anymore, Rick said.
Jimmy immediately flushed and drew himself up, enraged that one of his employees would humiliate him by talking back to him.
That's it. I'm going to...
He didn't get a chance to finish his sentence because Rick activated his new lucrum and suddenly slapped his boss across the face. The slap was so powerful that everyone in the gym with less than 50,000 lucrim died instantly. Jimmy staggered back, flabbergasted that Rick could have struck him so easily. Rick sneered at him and pulled off his badge, dropping it onto the floor.
This is the last day I work here. I quit.
Jimmy just stared at him, flabbergasted that Rick would quit. Lisa was watching from the corner of the gym and was amazed at how different Rick seemed than before. She hurried up to him while blushing and threw herself against him, rubbing her double D breasts against his arm.
Oh, Rick, you're so manly and alpha.
Haha, yeah, I guess, Rick said humbly.
Way to go, man,
shouted Henry, who was also there. On his way out of the gym, Rick suddenly ran into Mike, who glared at him.
Hey, what the fuck? Did you just run into me? You deserve to die for that.
Mike let out a roar and his lucrum burst up around him, so powerful that the concrete broke apart and a dozen bystanders were vaporized. Lisa shrank back with a feminine gasp of fear, and Henry shouted in fear, but Rick simply stepped forward confidently. Suddenly, Rick called on the true heart of Lucrum, and his power exploded exponentially, so powerful that 24 bystanders were vaporized. Mike yelled and tried to punch him, but Rick's Lucrum were so dense that he just broke his hand. Rick laughed and reached out, creating a Lucrum hook and stabbing it into Mike's soul, dragging him to hell. Suddenly, everything was back to normal, and all the bystanders were flabbergasted.
That was amazing, man!
Henry shouted.
Oh, Rick, that was so wonderful.
Lisa wrapped her arms around him from behind, pressing her triple D breasts into his back. Rick chuckled and pulled away from her. That wasn't bad, but I've seen some flaws in my technique. I should condense my lucrum down to 128 times normal density next.
You're a fucking genius, man!
Henry shouted.
I bet you could even heal your sister with that much.
Oh, right. Guess I'd better go do that. Rick flew back to his apartment with Lisa riding on his back, pressing her quadruple D breasts against him. Henry ran along underneath, flabbergasted that Rick had mastered the power of flight so quickly. When he arrived, he found his sister sickly and pale, her illness causing her trouble again. Rick frowned and stared down at her soul, using his new powers to look deeper than before. He realized that the problem was that she didn't have enough lucrum. It took a great sacrifice, but Rick pulled out some of his lucrum and poured it into his sister. It reduced him all the way to 126 times normal lucrum density, but it managed to fix her problem. The overflow from the intensity of his power killed several hundred people in the apartment complex. Melissa blinked in surprise, realizing that she was healed. She sat up slowly, putting a hand to her double D chest in surprise.
Wow, Rick, I feel better. And wow, you feel so much stronger. It was amazing how you healed me like that.
At this point, Lisa stepped in and kissed him, pressing her quintuple D breasts against his chest.
That was fucking amazing, man!
Henry shouted as he ran in the door.
Yeah,
Rick said humbly. Guess it just goes to show. There's no cultivation like street cultivation. This concludes Street Cultivation by Sarah Lynn, narrated by Travis Baldry. Copyright 2019 by Sarah Lynn. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Sarah Lynn and was produced in the year 2020 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright there too. Please visit tantor.com. for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.